Be seated, please.
Be seated. Great morning. Amen. All right. Good deal. I'm looking forward to our lesson today. I've entitled it Cool Heads and Warm Hearts. So if you miss everything else, that's the big idea. We want to encourage everyone as believers in Jesus Christ to think rationally and logically, not emotionally and without one's head. And the scriptures teach us about this. Do y'all agree with me that life is full of frustrations? I love the imagination of this five-year-old. Have you seen the Subaru commercial where there's like a little blonde-headed five-year-old or so boy that's driving his Power Wheels and his dad pulls in the driveway with the brand new Subaru car and he gets out and he holds the keys up to his son. He says, "Hey, pal, are you ready?" As though he's going to give the keys over to his five-year-old son to drive. And the boy just... he smiles and he thinks about and imagines what this could mean for him. If you haven't seen the commercial, I want to share it with you right now.
Hey, pal, you ready? Can you pick me up at 6:30? Life can be hard, buddy.
Okay. Oh, I'm so glad I got the car washed.
I'm here.
Too late.
I'll go for 5 minutes.
Gotta feed the meter.
What's the meter? Where am I supposed to go?
Right there.
Okay, I'll go
May be quite a while before he's ready, but our Subaru legacy will be waiting for him.
Now, that child is beyond his years to imagine consequentially what could happen if he takes on this great liberating responsibility in his life. And I want to key on one thing that he says in the commercial when he says, "I'm good, I'm good." Now, here's the question that I want to pose for us today. Can we be good in the midst of frustration, in the midst of things that draw anger out of ourselves? Can we have an emotion, or can we have the logical thought to say, you know, I'm good. And that's what I want to encourage us and to talk to us about today, about being good in the midst of really difficult circumstances. By the way, having difficulties in our life as Christians should not come as a shock. Like you, I don't know if you live with a balance sheet. Like things are, they're supposed to be justice in this world. And if there's wrongs, the wrongs have to be made right. And we carry around this balance sheet, and if there's more things that go wrong than right, it's out of balance. And so what do? We express anger so that we can realign the balance on our sheets. Jesus says this about frustrations in life. Matthew chapter 6, verse 34. "Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself." And this is what Jesus says, and this truth can be liberating. He says this: "Each day has enough trouble on its own." Okay, so Christians need to mature a little bit and understand that every day we will experience frustration and sometimes a stronger experience of that emotion, which is anger. For instance, you know, I've been thinking about this lesson all week long, and I've been thinking about my own anger and how I deal with things that are very frustrating in my life. And I thought by the end of this week, I had really matured in my life. Until the last 24 hours, I kid you not, from Friday night to Saturday night, I had several bouts with expressed anger that were damaging. For instance, I was in a near town. I won't tell you which one it was, but again, begins with the letter W and ends with Orton. And I had pulled into a filling station and had gotten some gas, and I pulled on up out of the way because that's what the sign says. If you're a really nice customer, you should get out of the way to make room for more people. Now you know where I'm at. And so I pulled over into the parking spot, and I'm waiting for my wife and children who are inside shopping. Okay, so I have been thinking about this all week long. And James teaches us about having patience with one another and perseverance. So that's what I'm doing in that mindset. And I was just about to get out of the car to go help my family members complete their business that they were doing. And they come walking out of the store, and I thought, well, how nice. Good deal. All right. So they get in the car, and so I put it in reverse, and they're wanting to show me all the things that they got. Now, mind you, they're amazed by things, and I'm going, I don't know if that was in the budget plan or not. Here's what I know about anger, and this is what I know about us, that we are egocentric. Do y'all know what that word means? Egocentric. We have a tendency to think about things, all things, from our own perspective, right? And that's called egocentric thinking, is how does this situation and scenario impact me? The only problem with egocentric thinking is that you and I are not the only ones in the face of the world, right? We are surrounded by lots of people who are also egocentric, and they're thinking about life from their perspective, and you're thinking about life from your perspective, and that is a ripe environment for conflict. So anyway, I'm sitting there, and I'm parked, and I'm putting it in reverse, and I'm backing out, and I'm looking on the screen in the rearview mirror. I looked in the rearview mirror. I looked in both mirrors because the last thing I would ever want to do is hit somebody. And as I was pulling back, sure enough, I looked back in the mirror again, and there was a woman standing there, and she was like, and I'm like, where did she come from? And then I was going to back up a little bit and roll down my window and say, I'm sorry I didn't see you. By the time I had backed up a little bit to get to where I can see her, she gave me one of those stares. Do you know what I'm talking about? The one that tells you to go to a certain place where there's a lot of heat and brimstone. You know the look, what I'm talking about. And I said to her, I raised up my hands. I didn't have my window down. But I said, I'm sorry. And then I went, I didn't see you. And I don't know how she took that, but she wasn't happy about it. And then she started griping and mouthing off to her family. And I think what she was saying, because this is an assumption, because I didn't really hear it, I think she was talking about how bad this driver was. And I had this urge inside to me to justify myself. I was trying to say I'm sorry. The last thing I would ever want to do is hit somebody backing up. And as a result of this circumstance, I had hostility. I felt it heaped up on me. And the last thing I want is for people to be mad at me. I mean, it's just a script, a value that I have in my life. Do y'all know what I'm talking about? I'll tell you another story. Minnie and I, we were going to go on a date Friday night. I told you the last 24 hours have been quite interesting from Friday night to Friday night. So Rebecca was gone to the game. Eli and Hannah, big boys and girls, stayed home. Minnie and I were going to have a moment. You know what I'm talking about, married people? You just want a moment. You're gonna reconnect. You're gonna renew. You're gonna rekindle. Are you following this, Mary? This is important. All right. So you're gonna do all of these things, and that was my value. That was my heart's desire. I wanted to look across the table at my beautiful wife and look into her brown eyes. She's my brown eyed girl, and we were just gonna talk about the things going on in life and reconnect and all that kind of lovey dovey stuff. We got to the restaurant, and I told the person there that was going to seat us, I said, put us in a corner booth as far away from everybody as you can. She put us in a corner booth, but it wasn't as far away from everybody as you can. There were, now mind you, Mindy teaches first grade, and she's surrounded by children. The last people that she wanted to be around on Friday night, there were 10 of them right beside us at a long table. with all their parents on one end and all the kids on the other, and they were watching these videos on these big old iPhones, and they were laughing and cutting up, and then they showed some scary ones, and everybody screamed like they had sung. And Mindy and I cannot, literally, we cannot hear one another talking. Now, Mindy was ready to correct them because she is a teacher. And I said no because I valued my own life. I didn't know how this would work out. So we just ate our food. We walked out and we both went, whew, yeah, yeah. Now, I could have gotten ramped up right there and it would have ruined their evening and it would have ruined my evening as well. You see, when you and I get angry, we eat the poison that we pour out on others. Are you following me, church family? When we get angry, it's not just them that we are heaping a corrective scorn upon, but if you'll pay close attention to your thoughts and your physical body, and you'll see some things occurring to you that are quite dangerous. And what happens is when we get emotional with anger, we lose logic. Just see it on a scale. When anger and emotion goes up, logic and critical thinking goes down. Today I want to talk about what some have called emotional intelligence. Emotional stupidity or dumbness. I'm sorry if I use that word I apologize if that's not used in your house. Emotional intelligence with critical thinking brings about great outcomes. Emotional ignorance brings about a lowering of critical thinking. And so what we want to do is bring up our emotional intelligence quotient. And Scripture talks about these kinds of things. We want to talk about controlling our emotions because emotions like anger builds up inside and it's got to be vented. Do you know where the vent is located for anger? Do y'all know where the vent is? You got it. The vent for anger as it's building is the old mouth right there. Turn with me to James chapter 1. Well, you're already there. Here we go. James chapter 1, verse 19 through 21. James says this, the Lord's brother. My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. For a man's anger doesn't bring about the righteous life that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. So think about this. I mean, our world, we are quick to speak, slow to listen, and hypersonic to get angry, aren't we? Isn't that how the world works? I mean, the world that you and I live values hypersonic expressions of anger. James is turning that worldview completely on its head. Under pressure, when you and I experience pressure in life, when we experience stress in life, when things violate our values, we become angry. And then the mouth becomes a spastic vent for that anger. I love these idioms. Have y'all heard these idioms about controlling your mouth? Like, hold your tongue. Hold my tongue. But you know, when you get out of hand, I love that idiom. Here's another one. Button your lip. Now, that's some Christian body piercing with a purpose right there. Can you imagine if, you know, people get body piercings and all kinds of stuff in weird places and in weird ways for weird reasons. But I mean, that is some body piercing that would actually make sense. You know, just cut a little slit on the top, stick the button right there on the bottom. And when they get, wouldn't it be great for parents? I mean, think about what you can do with your kids. They get to be like, yucky, yucky, yeah. You just go, excuse me for just a moment. We're going to button your lip. Bite your tongue. Zip your lip. Watch your mouth. My mom used to tell me that. Watch your mouth, boy. Don't be flying off at the handle. Does anyone know what that means? Don't be flying off at the handle. Come on, some of you old blue-haired people. You have to dye your hair a different color so you can be looking like you're 60 years old rather than 99. Come on. Flying off at the handle. Does anybody ever worked a cross-cut saw? And use, no. You probably, some of y'all used a chainsaw. Here we go. All right, now we're getting into it. So we cut some timber, and before you had log splitters that were hydraulic, there was these things called an axe or a sledgehammer and the wedge. And if you fly off the handle and you're swinging an axe, what happens to the axe head? It comes off the handle. And an axe head flying off the handle is a very dangerous thing. Great ways of thinking about the power and the impact of our words. All right, let me give you an image to think about as we consider how to make James a reality for our lives. Outside of your homes, and actually, there's one out back here of the church building, on a power line, on a power pole, is a thing called a transformer. Okay, y'all, most everybody knows what a transformer is. Now, a transformer transforms 440 volts of electricity into 120 volts of electricity to be sent into a home. Now, the reason it does that is because if your home allowed 440 volts of electricity to come in and you made toast, you would both toast the toast and toast the toaster. So every time you made toast, you toast the toaster, you're going to have to buy a new toaster. All right, it's like, boom, you got toast immediately, okay? 440 volts of electricity, you know, a microwave would turn into a macro tsunami. Are you following me? 440 volts. So a transformer, and the reason it's 440 volts is because it travels more efficiently, electricity does, on the power line, and then it's transformed so that it can come in a helpful way into the home. I want you to think about that with your mind and with your tongue. Because you and I, what James is calling us to do, if I can use this analogy, is to actually turn on a transformer. Anger, when you feel angry, anybody in here ever feel, did any of you feel anger besides me? I just want to know if I'm talking to just me today, or just, is there a few others that have felt anger sometime this week? All right, here's what anger is. It's a signal. It's a signal. It's an emotional signal saying that something is wrong. All right, that's not bad. That's it. God created us that way. Now, what you do with that signal can be bad or good. Hopefully, following James, that anger signals your brain to go, oh, brain, we need to get this one in gear before we have a mouth explosion. Before we, rather than a 120 expression of anger, I'm about to give off a 440. Are y'all following me? And I'm going to blow up everybody in my path. Now, let's talk about this for just a second. What is it that you're trying to do when you give full vent to your anger? Now think about this for just a minute. What is it you're trying to do? Someone has violated your values, and you are forcing them to cower to your thinking and your ideas. Anger is your attempt at intimidation. Church family, am I wrong on that? Can I get an amen? Is that true? Say, that's true. It's okay. Say, that's true. All right. All right. Anger expressed is a way of bringing about intimidation. So it's a power play. It's a power play to get what I want because I'm egocentric and I'm thinking about life from my point of view and I'm forcing everyone else to conform to what I think they should do. So anger is this highly charged emotion. And so what we want to do is to be able to transform. A signal comes in. I'm angry. I'm upset. I'm really frustrated. That's a signal to say, okay, before I let my emotions go crazy, before I fly off at the handle, let me think through this. James says, "Be what should we do? Quick to listen. So my first step is to gather, to understand. Somebody said this to me. It's really helpful one time. Seek first to understand, then to be understood. Is that good? That's good, isn't it? Seek first. That's what James is saying. Be quick to listen. All right. Get your body piercing, your new body piercing, and button your lip. Slow to speak. It doesn't say you can't speak. It doesn't say to not speak. It's just the last thing you want to do in a conflict, the last thing is to open your mouth, not the first thing. Are you following me? It is something to do, but it's the last thing to do, not the first thing to do. Amen? All right. Y'all, this will transform our families. It'll transform our community. It will bless our church if we can live with one another. Because what is it we're trying to do? We're trying to uphold what, church family? We're trying to uphold unity, relationship, connection with one another. So let me ask you guys this. Do you tend to be Bugs Bunny or a Tasmanian devil? Do y'all remember that? Now, I asked some of the young people today, have y'all watched Bugs Bunny and Taz? And they're like, I don't know what you're talking about. And somebody said Looney Tunes. Oh, yeah, we've seen Looney Tunes. I'm like, oh, no, I don't know if this is going to work today. These kids have never seen Bugs Bunny or Tasmanian Devil. What is Tasmanian Devil? What does he look like? He's big at the top. What's the largest feature he has? His mouth. How does his posture, how does he position himself? It's always forward, hands clenched or hands down, and he's moving. You know. Or something like that. Close enough. He's ready always for a conflict. And he always wants to give us. And Taz, what does he do with his mouth? He tears up in, I mean, his mouth, he can go through houses. He can go through trees. He can go through fences. There is, his mouth just leads away. And then, okay, so Bugs Bunny is threatened by the Tasmanian devil. But how does Bugs respond to the Tasmanian devil? He's going, blah, 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 blah. You know, what's he do? He goes, eh, what's up, Doc? Now, mind you, he's in the midst of a conflict, but look how his thinking is. I'm going to beat him with my brain. Bugs is cool-headed while Taz is hot-headed. And you and I have tendencies toward one or the other. I believe God is moving us toward a cool-headedness with a warm heart. Amen, church family? Because nothing good comes from quick to speaking and flying off it, you know, hypersonic with our anger. We want to think differently. So the goal is, let's get this. This is really important. I'm not asking us today to be unemotional. I read a story this week about a study that was done among some people that had experienced brain traumas to the emotional centers of their brain. They could still be rational and they could still be logical, but they did not have the capacity to emote or to be emotive. And guess what? They had a struggle doing anything in life. They could think about what to do. They could know what to do, but they didn't have the drive to do it because the drive no longer, it was absent from their capacity. So think about this. Emotion is a signal. It's also the engine of our actions and our thinking. So when we see something that's wrong and we feel this emotional response, it's not, oh, I can't have emotion. It's just, okay, what we're seeing is we need to go time out with this. Let's listen and think through. And then I'm going to harness this emotion as though I harness a horse. Put that saddle on it, put the bridle, the bit in its mouth, and I've got a powerful force. A horse is no less powerful because it has a saddle and a bridle. A horse is still has the same power. It's just the power is now harnessed for usefulness. So when you and I can think with emotional intelligence, being slow to speak, slow to become angry. We allow ourselves to use the emotion, to harness that, to accomplish good things, for good purposes to be worked out. So how do we harness the emotion of the anger of our anger? Is our emotion constructive or destructive? There's the world's way. You know, the world's way, when you're feeling really, really bad emotions, it's like, okay, breathe, relax, meditate, plant petunias. You know, God's way is to say, be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry in our lives. Now, let me go to this passage. Go to the next slide, Stan, as we wrap this up. Now, here's the thing. When are we angry? It's when we are under great pressure. James writes to some Christians that are really under some great pressure in life. You know, some of the pressures that you know, think about a young family that's struggling financially. Guess it's likely that anger's going to show up. What about somebody that has an aging parent that is just, their illness is terminal, but it's a long process and they're exhausted from caregiving? Guess what? That's a ripe opportunity for anger. What if you have a job and the boss has an unreasonable amount of work that he places upon you, almost ensuring your failure and preventing you from having success? Okay, these are real, these things create that anger emotion. These are trials and testing. Look what James says. Consider it pure joy. I'm like, are you serious? Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops what? Oh, you mean to tell me that God is interested in using the things that are frustrating me and making me angry to bring about greater maturity in my life? And I would say yes, because that's what James is saying. And so rather than being angry and frustrated, think about this. Oh, this is one of them growth opportunities here. So when I was backing up, that was a growth opportunity. I didn't even tell you what I did to Mindy at the house. It was terrible. You know, I got into an argument about a piece of paper that got wet that lasted 15 minutes, an argument with my wife yesterday after thinking all week about not being angry. Do you see what I'm saying? How easy it is for us to revert to very immature emotional behavior. There's a way of rewiring our thinking. He says, consider it joy with all these trials because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. And then he gives this teaching about being go to the next slide, Stan. Quick to speak, quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Friends, the solution is to throw the moral filth out of our lives. Several years ago at our house, we had a bunch of black mold, and for about a year, I thought I had fatigue syndrome. I thought something was horribly wrong with me physically, and it was, but I had no idea where it was coming from. We found out where it was coming from. Guess what we did? We gutted it out. We got it all out. We had to tear into it, rip all that junk out, and then get it out. And then I pulled up three layers of tile floor, and in between each layer of tile was mold and mildew. And I'm like, nobody knew we were living in that. It's nobody's fault, but that's what it was. And when we found that filth, we're like, get it out. We tossed it out. The same thing is true when you and I experience this filthiness, this emotion of uncontrolled anger. Get it out. Get rid of it. Accept that life is full of frustration and hardships. These things do not have to do us in. We can be just like that little boy who thinks through, he wasn't emotional thinking, that was logical thinking. The little boy thought through, and he says, I'm good with it. So this week, as you experience frustration and your values get violated by others, I want you to think about, am I good with this? I mean, it's not that we accept everything. It's just we go about bringing about a better result because we are mature with our tongue. So do not let the mouth be the vent for the anger. Give it to God Almighty. Amen? Okay, I've got a challenge this week. How about y'all? Let's commit it to God in prayer. Almighty God, thank you for this day. Thank you for the truth that James is trying to teach us. Lord, I pray that our hearts are open and receptive so that we can be people of peace. May you uphold and sustain the unity of this church, the unity of our families, because we are people who think logically and rationally, and we put others above ourselves. Father, forgive us for those areas where we're really struggling, especially with anger. And in Jesus we pray.